the Building Better Relationships Journal and Meditation. We created the Building Better Relationships Journal and Meditation so you can magnetize the better relationships you want and focus on the positive role that you have in creating a better life through your relationships. We are excited for you to discover the gold within you that can help you manifest the love we all crave. The Building Better Relationships Journal has coaching questions that help you listen to the truth of what you want and what helps you to be empowered in love. The Building Better Relationships meditation is designed to strengthen your heart's ability to be that change you wish to see in the world. Why not download it now and think of it as a gift to those you love? If you love journaling and meditation, this is for you. Welcome to Building Better Relationships at Home and at Work with Angela and Patty podcast. This is Patty, a leadership and work-life balance coach from Arizona, USA.
And this is Angela, love and relationship coach from Sydney, Australia. And we are building better relationships with you.
Sharing new perspectives on being heart-centered at home and at work.
So you can draw on your inner power to make your relationships and the world a better place to be around.
In this podcast episode, Building Better Relationships at Home and at Work with Angela and Patty podcast, co-host Angela Ambrosia will share how miracles have happened in her life and relationships and how she has studied the science of miracles through working on the power of our thoughts and how we talk to the powers that support us and which some people call God, the divine, grace, and others may call the universe. For Angela, this is actually the power of our words and how we can control the words we use and send out into the world to transform our way of relating to physical matter, the people around us, and our own consciousness to manifest, allow miracles into our life. More recently, Angela has a miracle of soma in her life, which is blessed sacred water manifesting in her home altar, also manifesting in special events happening globally. And one is happening in her hometown, Sydney, Australia, on December 1st, 2023, and Perth, Australia, on December 3rd, 2023. And Melbourne, Australia, on December 8th of 2023. Angela recovered from an aggressive cancer in 2019 and then was struck with a rare autoimmune disease. And she was unable to walk again in 2022. However, now she is fully recovered and teaching again. How does she explain the miracles that have not only saved her life, but also given renewed life and the ability to live in causeless ease, joy with herself and her relationships? Angela, can you tell us what happened this year that is giving you more insight into the possibility of miracles for all of us?
Hi, Patty.
Hi.
Thank you for allowing me to share this miracle of soma, which we'll talk about more in more depth later. The soma is quite a strange thing to explain to people who maybe have been working with the law of attraction or maybe have been working with their thoughts, the people who follow Joe Dispenza. A lot of people, use like yourself, you use affirmations. So for me, the added blessing of the soma this year that manifested in my home altar was something that's not necessarily managed by how I've been working with my own thoughts and my words. It was an extra power of something that was beyond my own power, where the avatars who are located in India have been able to download a higher vibration into water when I focus on my thoughts and ask for that to be manifested in my home altar with water that I offer to the divine. I offer water to the divine, and I've been interestingly talking and meeting lots of people who do this prayer work with water. I met people in 2012 who did healing work with water, and I also met people who did work with using language around water. There's a famous Japanese scientist who did that experiment where you say the words love over and over into the water, and certain crystal formations happen at the atomic level in the water. So I've met people for over 30 years doing this blessing or using language with water. The difference this year was that I'm working with the avatars in India, and I have been since 2012, and I talk to them in a very authentic way. I don't go around, some of the law of attraction stuff says, you know, you always have to be in that positive framework and go into that positive high state. And the bare bones truth, Patty, is that after having cancer and another autoimmune disease, I just sort of sometimes go, what's next? You know, am I going to have to keep on doing this stuff? Like, what's going on? And I've always had that nature in me. I've been a little bit more like, are you kidding me? This now this? Like, seriously, are you kidding me? And I was working with my prayer work, which uses a lot of positive language and successful outcome. You focus on the successful outcome. But then I started using authenticity in my prayer work and working with the avatars in India. So I was working with a divine person that's much stronger than myself, that works with millions of people globally and also works with other beings that are not necessarily physical. And I was really authentic. And so I expressed in my prayers frustration. And some law of attraction people will complain about that, saying, oh, you know, you can't do that. But other law of attraction people teach differently. But I was just really like, you know, very true and honest about my frustrations with my brain, with my dysfunctional body, with my dysfunctional mindset, which with my feelings of being pissed off or annoyed, and just saying, look, you've got to give this to me, this sacred water, because it's happening to other people. So in January of 2024, I've been whinging for a few days. We call it whinging in Australia. I'm not sure what you say in the USA for whinging. You watch British TV, Patty, so I know you know. Yes. Whinging. Yes. What would you call it in the US?
Complaining.
Venting.
Venting, yeah. Yeah, I think venting, complaining. Yeah, mostly I would use for America would be a complainer or somebody that whining.
Whining. Yes. I was having a whine. So I was having a good wine with my divine.
Angela, real quick, after you explain what you were going to explain, can you also explain what an avatar is?
Oh, great idea. That's true. Because that's the added extra thing. I've noticed a difference since 2012 when I've worked with an avatar. That's stepped up the power that I have access to of universal grace. And yeah, once I started adding the whining and the venting and the, come on, are you kidding me, in my prayer talk to the universe, to the divine, I actually did get the water transformed at my altar. And I drank in it, and it started to make me feel a bit sleepy. So I lay down, and the energy started to move through my body. And I do energy healing, so I've done weird things before, but I hadn't had anything quite like that, where I'd asked for it, had a good whinge, and then it started to manifest, and I drank it, and then I started to feel it moving through my body. And because it was so weird, I brought people over to the house and we did it together so I could test it on other people. And they started to have this experience of the energy moving through their body and healing their body. And now I give away water bottles and people are starting to have feelings happening instantly as well. It's very subtle energy. So avatars are people that are experts in a certain consciousness. So Einstein is an avatar of physics. If you look at Newton, Einstein, we have stories of them having dreams and they get these downloads. Most of our modern medicine will happen when somebody's in a state. A scientist can be in states most of the time when they're not working, when they're working, when they're sleeping. They have different brains that access certain information that gets downloaded. So an avatar can be anybody that has access to universal intelligence and wisdom that's downloaded into their consciousness. In some ways, you can say like that part of the brain, they say that we only use like 3-10% of the brain. So it's the actual part of the brain that we're not using that gets activated. And so for an avatar of physics, they may not have access to spiritual knowledge, but they have the physics of the universe that they can access and download. And in medicine now, we're seeing a lot of people downloading. So we might have avatars in science right now that we don't know them physically, but they're avatars of that. So an avatar in spiritual work can be avatars for certain spiritual gifts. These avatars that I work with are avatars of enlightenment, very specific spiritual work. It's not just any sort of spiritual work. Their goal is to enlighten a certain group of people on the planet, a 0.001% of the population of the planet. So then we can tip the whole population of the planet into a higher consciousness. I've worked with other spiritual masters, but these are avatars specifically for enlightenment. So I've worked with Sufi masters. I've worked with other masters of healing and other masters of shamanism and dance. So an avatar in particular, these avatars are avatars in the spiritual knowledge of enlightenment. So they have access to information that goes beyond living consciousness and recorded history that we have on Earth. They can just download it from the universe. Anything else on the avatars, Patty? And what else might be interesting for people to know?
I can't think of anything right now, but maybe further on I'll have more questions.
Great. Yeah, because an avatar is it's an interesting thing because people tend to associate it with a guru. It's slightly different. And a guru is someone that you might have a connection to who's like a teacher of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And these people, the way they work with me, I don't feel like they're my teacher only. I feel like they're actually helping me download that consciousness to get enlightened. So they help me open up my connection to the universe, to the divine, or to knowledge and wisdom. And so like with the Soma water, it's very unique to each person that it comes to in their home. We have other people connected to the avatars that are getting it, and the water will have a different vibe, a different feeling, a different outcome. We have some people that get really incredible miracles. In my experience here, I get a lot of healing of the digestive system for people, the spinal system, which is interesting because I'm an energy healer that works with the organs and the nervous system. And I also had cancer in my organs. I also had an autoimmune disease that attacked my immune system. And I had immunotherapy for my cancer to heal my cancer as well. So the Soma that gets downloaded here, I notice it has a very quiet vibration and it helps people to settle their nervous system and their endocrine and their organ systems. And that's sort of my vibe as well. But it is one thing I discovered was that because I am working with other avatars who are already at a higher vibration than myself, was that I didn't have to do it alone. And I think this connects to our topic now about miracles, because our world right now, Patty, is at this point where humanity is still trying to do it by the brain that we have, which Einstein says the definition of insanity is trying to solve a problem with the brain that created the problem,
mm-hmm.
or the mind that created the problem. And we are experiencing the insanity of the human brain right now, mind, the mindset. And this is where I feel like we're at this tipping point where we can use miracles The miracles are happening within the community I'm connected to on a minute basis. People are getting miracle healings, cancer's getting healed. My spine got aligned yesterday.
Oh, really?
From drinking. Yeah, I lay down and my spine went, and I went, oh, I'm a dancer. How did that happen? I just drank the water, the Soma water, and my spine got realigned. That's something that I thought might be interesting to explore about how does humanity relate to this concept of the divine or of grace, and what is that?
Yeah. So tell us, what is grace to you?
And I wanted to ask you about that too, Patty. So grace is something that's bigger than us or me giving me something. We were just in a dance workshop yesterday, and in the dance, we open up our arms to the heavens. We do that in all folkloric dance, in Tai Chi, Qigong, and yoga, you salute the sun. And when I reach my hands up, I feel something coming in. And sometimes I don't even ask for it. That's how enormous grace is for me. Grace is something bigger than myself, the universe, God, divine, whatever you call it, giving me something that maybe I thought about it in my unconscious or subconscious, but I hadn't brought it to consciousness, and I receive it. And then my consciousness goes, oh, wow, this is exactly what I needed, even though I didn't know what I needed. So grace is also connected to me, Patty, about, you know, when you ask for something but you don't know how it's supposed to arrive, and then suddenly something arrives in front of your face and you go, oh, I didn't think about that. That's exactly what I need. So grace for me is something that God, I call it God or divine, provides for us because our consciousness doesn't know how to do it, and it comes from outside of us, but it is connected to us through that collective consciousness, through the universe. So what do you feel grace is?
Grace is God giving favor to us when we don't deserve it.
Oh.
And, yeah. And for by grace, you have been saved through your faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that one can may boast. And that's Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. It's giving you favor, even when you probably don't deserve it, which how many times have we been given grace by others and we feel we didn't deserve it? And a lot of times we don't give grace to ourselves. We're sometimes our worst enemies on that way. But to me, it's kindness and being given something that you feel you didn't deserve.
Wow. I would like to talk about that part about not deserving, because yeah, I feel like that's where humanity is getting stuck in this feeling around grace.
Yes, yes.
And I love how you said that we don't give it grace to ourselves, and that that's kindness to the self. Mm-hmm. And when I was having that whinge with that wine with my divine, big wine, I was saying a lot of things like, come on, you know how much I do for you and the community and for this person and blah, 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 blah. I was arguing that I did deserve. And some people, my friend Patrick Wannis talks about the law of deservedness he came up with. I think Abraham Hicks talks about that, about claiming your birthright in the universe, not just planet Earth, but the universe. You're a star being in this universe. You're a piece of light from the divine, from that Big Bang, if that's what happened. Might have been a different formation than a bang. And you deserve that connection to the divine. It's it's not even deserving. You are that divine. But I find it really interesting on Earth, because we have these stories that are very much connected to the Bible and to our heritage of the Old Testament, about having to earn our grace and not being deserving. And I feel like that was part of the transformation as well. This year in January, I was having my whinge, my whine, going, you know, I do deserve this. Give it to me. You have to give it to me. And that's some of the new language I started using since 2012. I met a teacher, Premati, in New York, and she was helping me to say to the universe, give it to me now. Give it to me. And you can do an exchange. There's a contract you can make with the divine as well. So in India, they do a lot of these agreements, like, you give me this and I'll do this. So it is transactional, but it's not transactional in a Western sense of like, I'll scratch your back and you scratch mine, amakitiya. It's like you kind of do a promise to the divine, I will give you this. But the other part I learned from Premati was like, really just saying, ask and it will be given. That principle in the Bible as well. I give it to me. That's, I don't know where in the Bible that is, ask and it will be given. But stepping into that vibration, and Abraham Hicks taught us a lot about that, ask and it will be given.
Yes, in the Bible, Jesus said, ask and you will receive and your joy will be completed, John 16:24. There might be other verses as well, but that's one of the ones. It's in the New Testament.
I have to talk to John.
So the next question I have for you, Angela, is how do we recognize grace in our lives?
That's a very important question. And I was later on going to share some strategies, but I might do that now in answer to that, because it's just coming up now. Because the first step can be, which has been put out there in the New Age community, about recognizing synchronicities. So those things in our lives that are coincidences, like, oh, I just happened to meet my partner on a holiday that I only planned by accident, which is my experience. I had 2 days in Paris, and then the last night, at the last minute, I meet my life partner, who's now living in Australia. And the number of synchronicities and coincidences are so many that even to this day, my partner and I still look at each other and go, the way that we met, how? There's no other way but grace. And we start to itemize things sometimes and have a good laugh. We go, if I didn't book that hotel in that part of town, you would have said, no, that's too far away, I'm not going to drive you home. If I didn't decide to go back into the club because I was going to go home early, nah, I just want to go home early. If my phone hadn't died, because my phone had no charge on the SIM card or something, no credit on the SIM card, then I wouldn't have been stuck without a way. If the guy at the front wouldn't call, the guy at the front of the club refused to call me a taxi. And I remember looking at him going, that's a bit weird. Why wouldn't you do that if you've got a guest at your club and you're not going to, and you speak English and I don't speak French, you're not going to call me a taxi? Like, and it just goes on and on and on. The list continues. Even my booking of the hotel, I remember I booked it in Australia. It was an Airbnb. And I had randomly picked it because I had to book, because I had to leave in 6 weeks. And I just went, yeah, oh yeah, that looks good. Yeah, okay. The way I booked it, everything was so weird, because normally I'm a little bit more, I research a little bit. I didn't. I just went, yeah, that one. And it just happened to be 5 minutes from his house. He also had reasons that he just randomly chose to turn up that night. He normally doesn't go out. That was the first Saturday of his holidays. he had decided to go. He wasn't really good at dancing, but he decided to sign up to this class. I was not in the same class, but I just decided to stay. I was going to leave. And it was even the point of he was going to leave as well. And then he decided to just ask one more person to dance, and that was me. It was like, that's only some. There were so many, so many, so many, so many, so many. So that was the universe saying to me, take note, this is a miracle. You're meant to meet this person. But we tend to just go, oh, it's a coincidence. We tend to write off all of these coincidences, right? That time, it was so enormous. We both sort of looked at each other. There was even one moment that night, we both looked at each other and went, how is it possible that you just happened to live 5 minutes from my house? We both went, there's something weird going on here, like it was a setup. So spirit sets us up all the time, every single moment of our life. But often when we get a coincidence, we'll just go, oh, yeah, whatever. We'll write it off. And that's part of the human consciousness that is right now being challenged, because humanity is not in a good place. And we can see it collectively through the wars and through other disasters happening and through just collective general anxiety and fear about the future, depression. I don't need to go on, but listen to our podcast. We address several of the topics. And people don't know how to switch their perception to seeing grace, because they're so used to seeing everything's going to pot, or like I was saying, are you kidding me? What else is going to come? They're going to see the next disaster and the next disaster. So the strategy I was going to share later, but I may as well share it now, Patty, is about having a journal where you start to recognize miracles in your life. And it's a simple prayer journal. So if you write down a prayer, you write the date in the first column, the prayer in the middle column, and you measure the results in the third column. Now, if you didn't get the prayer, that's fine. But maybe you got some in that third column, you can put a little step towards it. Oh, if it's a business, oh, I got one email from a prospective interest in my business. Oh, someone started talking about this thing that I sell. Oh, someone directed me to a networking event. You know, little things. Maybe you didn't get that prospect to buy your product, but maybe you got little prompts in certain directions. But we write them off. We're like, oh, but I didn't get the sale. All right. I'll give you a good example from this week for me. So I had two people that did a sale, but then they weren't able to proceed. But they actually spent the money, and then I had to do the refund. Well, I chose to do the refund. I could have just written it off and said, too bad, but I chose to do the refund for goodwill. But that shows they were really, really wanting to do the dance workshop, but they weren't able to make it. There was a storm and there was illness involved as well. There's been a lot of illnesses around this time of the year with the weather changes that we're having. And we've had storms and lightning strikes. We've had dramatic things happening. So these purchases came in, but I didn't actually get the transaction. So I'm going to have a talk to my divine about that. And I'll bring that up later, Patty, about why we don't get our prayers answered and how to manage that. But in this journal where you start to notice the coincidences, we might, our consciousness, because it's so used to focusing on the negative, might start to go, oh, no, that wasn't grace. That wasn't really good. And we'll put it down. And that's the human condition. That's our brain as a collective right now. And that's the problem on our planet. And to recognize grace, you need to start seeing that you don't appreciate those coincidences. You don't appreciate the little things. That is really, really important. That was like me having my big whinge with the divine, like, you've got to give me this miracle. You've got to give it to me now, because I was changing my perspective on not getting the miracles. And I was using my life force, my will to say, give it to me. I want it. I really want this, my passion to invoke it, to pull in the grace with also appreciation for it. And so that's why we don't recognize grace, because we often stop it, because we get it, little things, and we have negative mindsets about it, and then we keep on focusing on the negative, which has been taught by Abraham Hicks for a couple of decades now. But I'm really wanting to share people now the importance of really starting to recognize those coincidences. Then once you see them as not coincidences but synchronicities, because that's what they are, you'll start to join the dots one after one. Like me with my partner, it was so many, so fast, so ridiculously from both sides, we could not ignore it. We had to acknowledge there was something weird here that was special and sacred.
And you were and meant to be together.
We were meant to be together. And there was something bigger than both of us pulling us together. So just go with it. Because I can tell you, my mind was freaking out, and I had to get my girlfriends. I had one from Australia, one from America. I'm like, what? I don't know. What do I do? Hang on. The mind was going full throttle. But the synchronicities were so many and so strong. Plus my heart was pumping in this different way. My heart chakra, not my physical heart, but my heart chakra was doing this thing that I was like, what's that? I don't know. That's another synchronicity. My heart chakra was activated. So what's that? That's the divine trying to give you messages, but we're so used to shutting that down. And then once you see the list of synchronicities, if you're writing that down in your journal in the third column, the miracles start to multiply. And that's why in India with my teachers, we have a practice of sharing miracles and listening to miracles. Because when you listen to other people's miracles, the neurons start to connect, and you start to go, oh yeah, I had a miracle like that, but I ignored it. Oh, I've been ignoring my miracles. And you start seeing them as differently. You see them from a different point of view. So I don't know what you might sense about that, Patty, but like, how do you recognize grace?
Well, I like the way that you said recognizing miracles or everyday things that come into your life that are good for you that you're not recognizing, or those little things that mean a lot, but you're ignoring them and you're not thinking of them as something to appreciate. And it's just like anything, if you're appreciating things in your life and you're grateful for what you have, you're attracting more of that kindness, love, things from God that come to you. You know, okay, let me give you an example. Say you're driving down the road and your tire starts going flat. So you pull over and realize, uh-oh, I have a nail on my tire. And you look up and right little ways down the street is a tire shop. Ugh. And you have enough air in your tire to get to the tire shop without ruining your rim. And you pull in and they have an opening and you don't have to wait 5 hours. They get you right in. They fix your tire. Even though you drove on it a little bit, you didn't ruin the rim. You didn't ruin the tire. They pulled out the nail. They plugged it. That is a miracle.
Yeah.
That is something to be thankful for. You could have been stranded and sat there for 5 hours for a tow truck. It could have just went so wrong in so many different ways. And that was a miracle to me. Being so close to the tire shop, not being in danger, not ruining your tire, all of those things, to me, that is something to be very, very thankful for. So that's my example.
Yeah, and how many times have you had someone pull over when you've been on the side of the road? Have you had that happen to you?
I have. There was one time, this was a long, long time ago, I had borrowed my mom and dad's Ram Charger. I had a job interview here in Mesa, from Tucson to Mesa, and I had a flat tire, and this nice gentleman changed the tire for me. And I was so thankful. And another time, I was driving down the road, and the kids were little, and I had a blowout. It sounded like a gunshot from my tire. And I was right by this RV trailer park, and this guy came out. He was on sabbatical. He was a pastor, and he changed my tire for me. And wow. I that was such a blessing, because I don't know what I would have done, because my husband was traveling at that time and he wasn't home and there was nobody to call, really. So that to me was a miracle. It was a miracle that he was there at right there and close enough to hear it and to change the tire for me. And it was somebody that I could trust, you know. That's another thing. You know, you're on the side of the road.
How are you going to know who to trust? Yeah.
You want safety, right? And so both of those incidents, I had an angel save me.
Yeah. So we often look at those things and just think, oh, well, that's just decent human behavior. But I don't know. I mean, it's something to start looking at. How do you look at those situations? I've been with a lot of people who've had car breakdowns and they freak out. And we, in one situation, we had someone show up who basically helped us get the car off the road and get safe, and did the whole jump start. The jump start wasn't working, but they took their time to help us be safe.
Yes.
And it was a complete miracle, but the person I was with was freaking out and still having a tanty, but a miracle was still happening. So that's the other thing I think that's important. When I have a whine, a whinge to my divine, and I'm asking for a miracle, it's fine. The divine doesn't judge you for having a whinge. And I am saying, give it to me now. And thank you. That's the gratitude bit. Thank you for giving this to me. Gratitude is something that we can have another topic about one day. I use the word thankfulness more than gratitude, because sometimes gratitude, it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Patty, about we don't deserve the divine to give us this grace. When I say thank you, I do see that I'm deserving, more than deserving, it's my right, because I am divine, I'm connected to the divine, and I'm also managing those gremlins in my head that make me whinge and make me feel frustrated with this material plane, with this flat tire, with this inconvenience. And sometimes that flat tire could be actually stopping you from a car accident down the road, or from some other thing that you might not be meant to go to. We don't know the bigger picture for those flat tires. We don't know where that's coming from,
right.
The bigger
right.
picture.
Yeah. And I know in both of those instances, I was praying for help, you know, and it came. So, yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Ask and it shall be given.
Yes. So, Angela, what stops us, in your opinion, from receiving grace and miracles?
I've already addressed that in terms of when we see things from a limitation point of view, like, oh, it's just a coincidence, versus an actually, no, it's a synchronicity. The divine, the universe is communicating with you. How do you perceive that communication? So your consciousness, and right now on Earth, our collective consciousness is limiting our ability to believe in miracles. We come from a very empirical mindset in the West and in the modern world. So even in Asia now, we've become very industrialized as a society. So we think that machines can solve our problems, and artificial intelligence, machines can, technology can solve some problems, but there are other problems that our consciousness has to be at a higher level and has to be in thankfulness. It has to be in appreciation. It has to be in joy to be able to receive. But we have, unfortunately, as a civilization, we've got to this point now where we're quite dystopian in our perception of the future and of the present. And that starts to engender low-level thinking, lower consciousness, and it actually attracts negative thoughts from other people. That's what very much gets in the way of receiving miracles. I can go into that in more depth in one of our other podcasts. We're going to look at ancestors in an upcoming podcast, because I've worked a lot with my family stuff. I come from a Sicilian background, and they're so good at negative thinking. They make it an art form. They make negative words up like as a flourish of a bad foul mouth language. I used to go, "What did you just say?" Because I didn't understand Sicilian dialect. And when I found out, I went, "Oh, that's actually quite creative, but it's really bad. Like, it's really negative. Like, whoa, that's really bad." So that foul language can generate negative energy and attract negative energy too. And when you use positive language, it's not just to be a nice person. It's actually quite selfish. It's to attract auspicious and higher energies to you, and to have good energies. In Feng Shui and the Asian cultures, they understand this. You want auspicious language. I've met people now, Patty, that don't know the meaning of the word auspicious. So it's being lost that these ancient practices, where cultures, when they gave birth to anything, a thought, a baby, a business, anything that you send out into the universe, any languages you want to have of the highest order. So when you don't use auspicious high vibration language, you start avoiding miracles. It's very, very simple, but we start to, in the West, start to make it more complex.
How can people listening get miracles at home and at work?
Well, we've already said a few things, like ask for it. Ask and it shall be given. And you can also do a simple prayer journal, like putting your prayers, what you're asking for, get very, very clear into the details and see and feel it like it's already happening. And Patty and I have the BBR journal and meditation. In the meditation, we get you to focus on the relationships, and we get you to visualize all of those beautiful things you want to experience, and we send that out into the year. So you can also purchase the BBR journal and meditation. And in the journal, you're getting clear on what you want, because the clarity is key. When you start having what you ask for, or your prayer or your heart's desire, and you just say, "Well, I want $1 million. Your subconscious, first off, might go, "Yeah, right." If you start saying, "I want $1 million and I'm going to be doing X and Y, I'm going to be helping people," because the universe loves us, or loves to help us when we're helping other people. Simple. Anything is just me, forget about it. The universe is like, "Yeah, right. It's all about you. Who cares?" If you're about the collective, the universe was going to give you much more energy. So if you're going to make $1 million helping people, and you start to get really clear about how is that structured, it could be a book that you write. So your book is going to help people transform. And we've got Jack Canfield. I know it's a bit old now, but his books, every night before he went to sleep, he focused on a $100,000 note stuck to his ceiling. And he's kept on focusing on it, but it wasn't just for him, it was to help people. So get really clear, see it, feel the positive emotion around it, write it down in the journal, and then in the BBR meditation, you can visualize the feelings around how you'll be connecting to other people. So do any of the meditation work that you do to really feel and visualize that. And then ask for the universe to support you. So asking is really, really key. I talk to my divine. You might not have the divine, you might have the universe. So talk out loud, use words out loud, and always do it so you're not hurting anybody else. If we hurt anybody else, the universe isn't going to help you. That's the simple truth. If you're working to help others or work collaboratively or cooperate with others, the universe will help you. If you do an exchange or a contract, in India, this is the extra piece. They used to say, you can do an exchange. So you say, you give me this and I'll do this for. So we used to do this really clever thing. If you have a problem with your eyesight, you can help people who have problems with their eyesight. It's a very simple thing that they do in India and it works really well. The other thing is soma. So I wanted to talk a little bit more about soma now, if that's all right, Patty.
Oh, yes. That was going to be the next question. I wanted you to expand on a little bit more. So yes, please do.
I can share on what is soma, the history of it. Many thousands of years ago, you can see in pictures, Buddha was collecting a plant, which is soma. So it was a plant it was a physical plant, and it was taken by Buddha and other teachers of enlightenment to grind up and put into a liquid, and they used to drink it after many years of preparation. So they didn't just do it like mushrooms or psychedelics or anything like that. It was actually it was done with spiritual intent. So after many years of preparation and getting ready, the enlightenment teacher would say, now you're ready for soma. So it was a plan, it was ground up, it was consumed, and that would help the brain open up to more mystical and to higher consciousness. So you were able to, it wasn't like LSD, it was actually just opening up to causeless love, peace, joy, very simple states, but very powerful. So if you look at it scientifically, it was opening up the prefrontal cortex, which opens us up to empathy, joy, appreciation, compassion. And the soma was used in the ancient times for people very dedicated to helping raise the consciousness. So it wasn't to escape the reality, it was to raise consciousness so we could deal with our reality in a higher consciousness, with higher intelligence. So now the soma that is appearing in people's altars is a mystical download, which sounds really weird, because it is. It's something that we call a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon is something that you don't know how to understand it with a logical mind. It's very hard to explain and understand by logic, but it's extremely impactful and it impacts lots of people. I'm talking about millions of people are experiencing this around the globe. It's more of a grassroots movement. It's not a thing that you can pay for. It's completely free. So in India, it happens in a much more stronger way, but outside of India, it's happening through the water. So what happens is you offer water to the divine through a sacred altar. You can't just sort of do it in a sloppy way. It has to be focused. And then you pray to your divine. So that could be a picture of whatever divine you connect to. And you ask for the divine to transform the water into that soma. And unlike with Buddha, where they had to grind it up and put it into some form you could consume, here it's actually mystically downloaded. So it's really weird. It's even weird for me. At first, when I started getting it, I was like, really? Okay. But I'm a bit open to this stuff, so I love it. And now you can go to live events, because we couldn't do it at people's homes to get enough people. We wanted to get numbers, like hundreds of people together or 50 people together. So the power, when you get hundreds of people together, increases. The divine can come in a big way. And that's what's happening now with these events, the soma events that's happening in Australia and the USA.
Ready to embrace a world of peace and joy through dance? Join me for a transformative experience where you discover the power of Sufi movement and world dance. Release stress, connect with your heart, and find your path to enlightenment. And join us to create a new dance, feeling what we have right here and now. Join us October 26, November 2nd and 9, 2023 at the Authentic Living Center, Dance for Joy. Tickets available at dancewithangela.com/events.
So for the people that are listening, this may be hard to understand about drinking the Somo blessed water. And how does it change in their relationships by drinking this water? Or tell us a little bit more about drinking this water and why.
Yeah.
Should you drink this water, and how does this miracle happen with the water?
Yeah. So one of the things that I've worked with the science of miracles, but one of the pieces in the science of miracles, it is mystical in nature. So in the ancient traditions like astrology, yes, there was a science of astrology, but there was a mystical element. So part of that is actually just opening up to the higher consciousness in your own brain, which if you've got neurobiology, or in the neuroscience, they call it neuro networks. Like if you've had negative habits in your family, they could be generational. I'll give you a practical example. Like your mother is pregnant with you, but she's got depression or postnatal depression, and you were born and she had no postnatal depression. So you're going to grow up thinking, oh, I'm not a very important child to my mum because she's not very happy around me. So that's a completely normal thing that children do. Mm-hmm. But your neural networks have started to program, before you can even think unconsciously, I'm not important because my mother's not happy. She doesn't pick me up, you know. So that's in your brain, your neurobiology, all right? So what the Soma does for a person who's grown up like that, it starts to open up the neural networks that are more in the prefrontal cortex, but also can start to go through the whole nervous system very quickly. Like, I'm not talking about EFT tapping or doing any of that stuff. I'm talking about people who've had major trauma in their family drink this, and after 30, 40 years of having an alcoholic family where they've been disassociated from the people, they see the whole trauma from a different perspective. So in the case of the baby who's had the mum with postnatal depression, they actually go and they see how their mother felt when they drink the Soma, and they feel her. It's not intellectual, nothing to do with intellect, because they can do therapy and do that. We're not talking about that stuff. They feel their mother being sad. And then they see themselves and they realize there was nothing they could do as a child except make that story. And they feel how much they love their mum. They don't feel the story that they made up. They feel that connection to the mum, and they feel this new love, this new higher consciousness. That's in our prefrontal cortex. But because of growing up with the trauma brain, I'm not important because my mum doesn't pick me up, that's actually wired in your brain. That's what we get addicted to. But the Soma, what it does, because it's so different, it comes from another dimension. It's not actually from this planet. It's downloaded from another dimension. It has a way of bypassing all of that programming from 20, 30, 40 years of I'm not important, and it opens up your heart, and it goes through the nervous system. And it starts to vibrate. Like, people report from drinking the Soma, they actually feel tingles. They can cry, they can laugh, they can feel this enormous joy or love where they felt crippled, like their body might be shutting down from all sorts of diseases because of these emotions. And in the case of the child, they could just see, oh my God, I love my mum. And then after the event where they've had the Soma, especially these group events, they'll get, if the mother's still alive, they might get a phone call, or they might reach out naturally, and they'll just have a whole different relationship to the family member. So we've had people that have had on the verge of divorce, They've come to the events, they've drunk, they've had the water transformed into soma, drink the soma. They go home and the miracle doesn't happen straight away. But then several months later, they've ended up not having the divorce. We've had other people, they drink the soma, and in that moment, they can see just decades of bad thinking and neurobiology associated with pain and suffering just melting away. It's the whole spectrum. I've had other people come to the events where they haven't got the miracle, and I can hear all the stories, and it's like, oh, no, this didn't happen. So I can see how their lower consciousness from the way they think about receiving grace blocks them. But we've also had the other spectrum where people are literally getting their lives, decades, maybe generations of trauma in the families, because they can just immediately connect to the heart and see, oh my God, I love my mum. And yes, there's even been situations of abuse. So we've had some people, I'm getting the tingles about it now, where they've been abused by family members, and they've just been able to heal and see how much their inner child, their little self, their younger selves had suffered, and just get incredible release for the younger self and see how that younger self just really was really hurt and able to release that hurt that they've been holding on to. And it just goes like that. So there's no logic or technique that we have on earth right now that I can associate this with, because it is sort of mystical, and it's that grace part that's understandable. You can't understand it from the logic mind. You have to be open to the mystical part of ourselves. And if that at all resonates with people, we've got the links for the events in the podcast description, because you can find out about these events. It may not be for you today. It may be for you at a later day. So we have some people who go, nah, this isn't for me, and they come later. We've had some miracles of people who actually show up at the events going, I don't even know why I'm here. That's the other thing. It's like me at the nightclub going, oh, I don't know if I should stay. We have people turning up to the events and they go, I don't know why I came, but I'm just here. And then they get a miracle. So the way these events are happening is pretty much, it reminds me, I wasn't born in the 60s. I was born in the 70s. So I wasn't experiencing the happenings that happened in the 60s, but it reminds me of that, where people used to just show up and this things were just happening. Because if it had to associate a word with this movement that the soma comes from, it's like a happening where things just happen, and people receive miracles because they're just open to it, but also because something bigger than them brings them to the event or opens them up to being able to receive that soma.
So, Angela, how does believing in miracles build better relationships?
Well, I think that's one of the reasons you and I do this podcast, because we started the podcast very passionate about the state that humanity is in, that humanity needs a better way forward. And miracles open your consciousness to, you don't know that better way, but you're open to it. You're ready for something. You're open to a miracle, because why not? And many of our relationships are stuck because we just feel that is not possible for them. So better relationships start with being open to any different way, any possibility that there could be another solution. And then your consciousness is open to love, to higher emotions, appreciation, because you're not stuck. That's where miracles help us. They help us get unstuck quickly. And a sequence of miracles can actually break that pattern of believing that your relationships are destined to fail, are destined to be suffering. So I think our podcast is a foundation, is based on that foundation of belief that there is a better way, and miracles are and not the only way, but maybe the easiest.
So I do have a question for you, and I'm sure the listeners want to ask the same question. What does the Somo water taste like? Does it just taste like water, or what does it taste like?
That's a great question.
Other people experience it tasting differently.
Yes. So when you pray for your specific prayer, it can change the taste and the quality of the water. It can give bubbles. It can taste bitter for some, sweet for others, like roses. Some get lemon. I get this soft feeling, like it's like a softness, which is really hard to explain. Like, how do you explain softness in water? But it's like a gentle feeling in my mouth, or mm-hmm. a subtle Often I get this and sometimes you get turmeric in the water or honey, like a healing sometimes gets downloaded through turmeric and honey in the water. And it's very much flavored or tailored by your specific prayer. So we've had people go with their personal bottle of water, and they'll get some get bubbles, some don't. The bubbles are just really to make you see that the divine's doing something. And sometimes the bubbles manifest later as well, when you've left it there by your sacred altar. But it is very, very personal. And that's what's mystical about this process as well, and helping me understand that when we pray, your prayers are very, very unique. It's all about you and your relationship to the cosmos or to the universe or the divine. So the water will change in terms of that relationship.
When people go to these events, do they bring their own water?
Yes, you bring your own sealed water bottle, so you don't think that we're doing anything to it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And you take one sip at the event, and just that one sip, we've had people have extraordinary experiences, and then you take it home, and then you keep focusing on your miracle, your desire, and you take a sip of water until you finish that bottle. And then if you want, you can come back to another event. We had one person with bladder cancer, stage 4, I think, and they did 4 events. Cancer was completely healed. So they were going through that disappointment and doing a lot of complaining. Like, I've been to like 3 events. Come on, give me a break. And then they got the healing at the 4th event. And that really inspired me, because I see my mind start to get negative when I don't get my miracle prayer answered. And I just realized I needed to focus on the prayer more, with more intensity and more commitment and more time and more repetition. And that can help the just push that prayer or that miracle into reality.
When you're at the event, is everybody praying together, or so the event is to pray for the miracles, and then you have a private moment where you pray for what your needs are or your desires? Yeah. Okay.
You pretty much, before you go, you think about what you want as your outcome. And then during the event, you get to hear how other people have received their outcomes, their miracles. And then you do a focused prayer on your prayer. We have done collective prayers, but not really. We just generally focus on you and what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right at the end. But the energy is working on you from the moment you enter, from the moment you buy the ticket, even. But once you get there, it's just about focusing on your prayer. But it's always good to come with that intention before. And you also learn about the avatars in India a little bit. How do they do this? Because it is a bit weird. And why are they so capable at doing that? How are they focused in that manner? Like, what's the history? You learn a little bit about them. They use a chant as well. And you learn the reason behind that chant, because it goes back to what I said earlier around when we're calling on the divine, what language are we using? And are we calling on the highest energies? So they teach you how to do that through their specific technique. You can probably go home and just use your own technique, but in the workshop we do that collective technique together. And it's all about getting you to focus on what's in your heart and what is that miracle that you really, really want? Because I think when our prayers go unanswered, we get despondent and we start to feel like giving up. So that event is really just saying, no, focus, focus, focus. Call on the divine, ask for it now and get it and feel that you're getting it.
That's very interesting. Thank you for sharing that, because a lot of us have no idea about this type of event or how it works. And for someone that doesn't understand or has never been to an event or really thinks, can this really happen? What would you say to them? You said at one point, you didn't really understand this. What would you say to them, somebody that's a doubter or doesn't really understand all of this? What would be words of encouragement to say, it changed my life, come participate, it will change yours?
Yeah, I'm just feeling what would be the highest words for the general audience listening. And if I felt into my heart, what's really coming to me is that humanity needs miracles right now. We need miracles.
Oh, like, yeah.
just do it for a better outlook on life, because our world is full of quite a bit of darkness at the moment. And these events wouldn't be happening except to help people really break through, get real breakthroughs, because we need people to start living in joy and coming from a different place so that they can help other people. And if that resonates with you, to help humanity, these events are actually about that. We help humanity by giving you a miracle, because we know that once your consciousness is shifted, you can help other people. Yeah, we want to give you a miracle too, but it's really more, if that speaks to you, then this event is definitely for you, because it's about helping humanity as a whole, not just giving you a miracle, but for the intent of really feeling that humanity is worth saving, because there is this great future that we could create if we come together and focus on that potential. If you are one of those people that really believe in the potential of humanity, then this event might speak to that, to your heart. Because anybody else I know that's turned up who is a doubter, I have seen them leave the events and then I can see their mind operating, and that's fine. But then if that's your mind, that's your mind. There's nothing wrong with that. Then the event's not for you. But if something inside of you is feeling this pull to really see a different version of humanity, because you want that for not just yourself, but for your kids, for your loved ones, if you believe in better relationships, that's a good start. And this event is all about that. How do we bring, we talk about it, that we're moving into the golden age, the Aquarian age, which started from 2012. And that age is when humanity, eventually 20, 30 years, we won't have to work because of artificial intelligence. We will have so much free time. We already do have more free time than my parents did. But how do we do the inner golden age? How do we live in that joy? These events are about creating that inner joy to sustain us when we do have everything done for us by the artificial intelligence, but we still have a dysfunctional inner consciousness that's pulling us apart. So that's what I'm just sharing as my final thoughts to the doubters. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But if there's a part of you that feels like, yeah, I really want humanity to grow, and I feel I could be a part of that, I want the inner golden age where I'm not suffering. If you want to end inner suffering, then this is the event for that. Because this is a way of doing it where you're not having to do the work. That's what I've found with the Soma. I'm working less in my inner consciousness. It's happening easily. And I'm just experiencing joy. And if my whining starts, I drink Soma and it stops very easily.
Very good. I have one more question that probably the listeners and I would like clarification, and you may not know. Is the Soma plant still alive, or was it something that is no longer, is it extinct, or is it still available?
I have to ask that question because I've been wondering about it since the whole rage of psychedelics and ayahuasca and cacao. And in the old days, nobody talks about it because it was pretty awful, Datura. But there's a lot of interest in the altered states. And I haven't heard anyone talk about the plant, and I don't know, but it is a question I have, so I'll have to look into that. My feeling is the reason they're not talking about it is because it's downloaded mystically, and the vibration is actually of a higher vibration than when Buddha was around and the other teachers.
Mm-hmm.
The plant would still have some earth energy and vibrations. This is coming from a different non-physical realm to basically do stuff that we don't quite understand. But yeah, well, let's find out.
Yes, thank
the plan.
You. Is there anything else that you would like to share with me and the listeners on this topic?
Just if anyone does have questions, you can always email me, angela@dancewithangela.com, and I'll be happy to answer any questions. You might be in an area of the world where you may be wondering, can I get this? And there are places in Europe and Asia, and don't know about Africa, but some areas of the Middle East and South America, Mexico. So I'm open to any emails, as any other questions you might have.
Well, Angela, thank you for sharing your miracle experiences in your life and relationships. And thank you to our audience and followers so much for listening. And please share this podcast with others if it resonates with you. And follow us on Spotify. And we will have the events information in the show notes if you're interested in attending.
Thank you for listening to Building Better Relationships with Angela and Patty. Send us a message. And please like or share the podcast or donate with the Anchor Donate button. We really value your feedback.